Now, home prices, for the most part, are rebounding. 10 years after the start of the Great Recession, those prices have been on the move for a while now. Depending on where you live, you might have seen skyrocketing housing costs in recent years. For example, according to the real estate website Zillow, the median home value in Wisconsin is nearly $177,000, and home values have increased more than 6% in the last year. That's expected to keep going up. For home buyers, the increase in prices can make navigating the market tricky. And then throw in some outside influences, things like tariffs and federal interest rate hikes, that can have an impact on mortgages and home prices. Situation may be similar for people renting, too. Andra Gent is an associate professor of real estate and urban land economics for the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Business. Andra, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Well, we hear about rising housing costs around the country. What are things looking like in Wisconsin now?
You know, Wisconsin's not an especially hard hit part of the country, you know. So the background here is that, housing costs are up. Rents have been rising in real terms. This is especially true for the bottom half of the income distribution, where the share of what they're spending as a fraction of their household income on rent has been rising nationwide. Now, we don't have some of these super supply-constrained cities like the Los Angeles, the New York, the San Franciscos. At least not – we don't have the same level of supply constraints, but certainly that's not much consolation if you're looking to either rent or buy a home in Wisconsin because prices are still up. And it's a little bit worse in Madison than in the rest of the state.
Yeah, when we say housing prices are up, are we saying they've gotten back to where they were before the Great Recession, or are they pacing past that now?
They're a little bit past that now, not by a ton, but they're definitely past that. It's certainly in nominal terms, about there in real terms. When I say real terms, I mean after we adjust for inflation overall. And now, again, Madison, house prices have been rising a little bit faster in Madison than in the rest of the state, about the same in Milwaukee as the rest of the state, not surprisingly, because, of course, Milwaukee is so much of our population, and then maybe a little bit less in some of what we call second-tier cities like the Green Bays and the Beloit and Janesville.
Are we seeing houses, home sales moving pretty quickly now?
I think overall, yes, that's broadly true. When something comes on the market, there's definitely not a ton of supply. I haven't looked in the exact numbers on how many months supply we have. Certainly in Madison, it's a very small number of months of supply, but I think we're below our long-term average in terms of months of supply is typically 6 months. And I think Madison, last I heard, was something like 2 months or 3 months. So things seem to be going off the market very quickly when they do come on.
Yeah, it seems like when we talk about housing costs, as you've been saying things here, the big question is, where are we talking about? There are these hot spots around the country, in Dane County in particular, in Wisconsin, but it really is local conditions, maybe more than national conditions?
Yeah, absolutely. There is no the housing market. There is no national housing market. There is... Each city has a housing market. There are some national factors. Now, obviously, interest rates are a big part of the story, but, you know, I think 25% maybe of the variation in home prices can be explained by national factors. So mostly it's state or even very local factors. So what's going on, even though house prices are sort of rising across Wisconsin, it's definitely much, much stronger in a place like Madison and Milwaukee than some of these rural areas where they're really barely recovered from the boom. And they may not, you know, certainly when you get outside of even, you know, smaller cities, you know, the migration away from rural areas is probably going to continue. It's hard to see those prices recovering too much.
And that sounds like a structural problem. Maybe if I'm living in a rural area, I want to move to a place to get a good job. Well, the places I want to move have very expensive houses. The place I'm leaving, if I'm trying to sell a house, I'm not going to get anywhere near that much for it.
Yeah, so that's a great point you raise. You know, a couple thoughts. One, so this is something people notice about cities is there's a lot of poor people in cities, and that's somewhat, Ed Glaser sometimes describes that as a symbol of the success of a city in that, you know, cities attract people because they have employment opportunities. And so the fact that there's many people who, you know, might not be able to afford the new housing prices. That's not necessarily a bad thing. The other thing I would point out is, in my view, I don't actually think that home ownership is a great way to build wealth. In my view, I don't see big advantages in terms of building wealth of being a homeowner relative to a renter. So I don't know that I'd be that worried about being a renter as opposed to a homeowner for that reason. There's certainly some consumption benefits of being a homeowner, but I'm not sure it's a great improvement over renting for your financial situation.
Talking to Andrew again from UW-Madison School of Business about housing costs in Wisconsin and around the country. Andrew, let's talk about those renters. Again, it seems like there are hot spots where rent seems to be going up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think that, again, Madison is Dane County is particularly under pressure, and that's partly it does have these supply constraints because of the capital. Obviously, I'm very familiar with the Madison market. I'm a little bit less familiar with the Milwaukee market. But again, this is that part, the long-term trend, that is somewhat nationwide just because as people, you know, we've had a widening of the income distribution, and everybody's sort of competing for the same land in a certain sense. And so there is a nationwide trend, as well as in Wisconsin, of a larger and larger fraction of income going towards rents, particularly for the bottom half of the income distribution.
I was seeing a national report from a group that deals with homelessness and housing issues saying that for people at a minimum wage in any state, basically, I think they said nowhere in the country can you really afford to pay the rent on one minimum wage. Does that sound accurate?
I think that sounds about right. That's particularly when you take into account family size. You know, if you take into account having two kids with one minimum wage, I mean, it seems extremely difficult.
I want to talk about a couple big national factors that I've seen people talking about. One is the Federal Reserve. They're bumping up interest rates. We see these stories from time to time. It seems pretty abstract and distant. Is this something that eventually trickles down and affects people who are buying and selling homes or renting housing?
Yeah, so certainly rising long-term rates, mortgage rates as they go up, that makes a mortgage payment a larger fraction of people's income. That's certainly true. Now, that might also, you know, that feedback feeds back onto house prices in the extent that if there's less people that can bid on a house because they can't qualify for the mortgage or they choose not to take up that much of their income to buy a home, then house prices don't get bid up as much. So there's somewhat of a dampening effect from that end. But, yeah, certainly rising rates make it harder to buy a home because the mortgage payment is going to be higher.
And then tariffs have been in the news a lot lately. Some home builder groups are pointing toward tariffs on Canadian lumber, the stuff that a lot of houses are built out of, driving up costs significantly enough that it's adding to the price of a new house. Do you see that being a factor?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And, you know, also we have a very low unemployment rate here in Wisconsin. And that's good, right? We don't. Unemployment is creates a lot of problems. But it also means even before we had all these problems with tariffs, labor was very, very scarce in the construction industry. And that's true nationwide, but maybe especially true in Wisconsin. And that does feed into another policy, you know, the immigration policy. And, you know, like it or not, we do get a decent amount of labor from our neighbors to the south, particularly in the construction industry. And so to the extent you don't have that labor coming in, that raises labor costs, which I think, not to say that tariffs aren't important and raw materials costs are not an important part of construction, but I think an even bigger part is the construction cost, the labor cost. And those have been up for a few years now, and there doesn't seem to be any signs of those damping. And then you throw in the fact that, yeah, raw materials, lumber prices, steel prices, those are all going up. None of it is suggesting that the cost of building a house from scratch is going down, at least in terms of the building cost.
Weird from Brandy on Facebook, who writes that housing costs make her want to stay put. She says her mortgage rate is much lower than what it is out there right now. And I thought I read somewhere, Andra, that Brandy's not alone. The average time people stay in a house, stick with that mortgage, has gone up a decent chunk in recent years. Is that right?
So that's probably because a lot of people got their mortgage rates when it was very low, right? So there's a couple things going on. So if you bought if you bought at the boom, you may not have had as much equity, right? So you need a few things to be able to refinance. You need a job. Typically, they want to see that you have stable income. And then you also need some equity in your home to refinance. So a lot of people just couldn't refinance if they had bought their home in 2006, 2007, up until the last couple of years, because they didn't have enough home equity. And then the other issue is there's not much incentive to refinance if your mortgage rate's sitting at 3.5%, why would you refinance into a higher rate?
Talking to Andrew Gent right now about rising home prices and an expensive rental market in many communities anyway around the country. She is an associate professor of real estate and urban land economics for the UW-Madison School of Business. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you looking to buy or sell a house? What are you seeing as you go from house to house searching for a place to buy? Are you did you sell a house quickly? Are you renting? Is the rent, to paraphrase, too darn high for you in your community? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about home prices in Wisconsin, whether you buy or rent, and why in many communities anyway it feels so expensive. It seems like things are going up. Andra Gent is with us, Associate Professor of Real Estate and Urban Land Economics for the UW-Madison School of Business. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Let us know your story, the story in your community. Are you buying or selling? Have you done so recently? Are you looking at the market and saying, no thanks, going to stay put? If you rent, is it easy to find something in your price range, or do you really have to stretch that budget to find a place to live where you want to live? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Jackie is with us in Monona. Jackie, hi. Jackie, are you there? We don't have Jackie. Maybe your phone's on. Oh, Jackie, are you there?
Yes, hi. Sorry, my phone was on hold.
Okay, go for it.
I was going to say my husband and I purchased a home several years ago in Monona within Dane County, and we're looking to sell it. We're projected to make a large profit on our home. However, we are planning to purchase a home within the same community, so any profit that we've just made will essentially have lost because we are selling high and buying high.
Jackie, thanks for that call. Andra, that's a quandary for people within a hot housing market. Yeah, great, they make money, but if they want to stay there, they are not. They're in the same boat. They're paying a lot for it.
Yeah, so this is a great point, and it's one of the reasons some people don't really. There are economists who don't really think of housing wealth as wealth, and the reason is exactly as Jackie's saying. Well, you know, I still have this. So you can think of yourself as sort of born short. If you have a liability that you have to buy housing every period, right? So you can either rent it every month. Every month you could rent housing, or you can buy it and basically lock in your housing. But when you sell your house, unless you're downsizing a lot or you're near the end of your life or you're moving to a different community, well, you got to buy housing somewhere else. And so in some sense, and if the price of your house goes up, if it went up because rents went up, so your future liability went up, you're not really in a better situation. So that's one reason, we don't necessarily think of housing wealth as wealth the same way we do at other assets. So I'm sorry for Jackie. On the other hand, look at the bright side. I think one of the reasons that you're seeing housing going up in Dane County is people want to move here. So that's sort of a sign that you're in a community that offers a lot of amenities that's attracting people nationwide and keeping a lot of the educated millennials that come to UW-Madison and stay. So that's the good news.
Jackie, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Yeah, Andrew, I think a lot of people over the decades have thought of that house as a thing that's going to appreciate over time. It might fund their retirement. The equity might fund the kids' college career, whatever. Is that something that used to be more true than it is now, or was that never really true?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I wouldn't have thought it. Now, it does give you something to borrow against. So the nice thing, one nice thing about housing is it gives you collateral that lenders are willing to lend against, whereas people, lenders are generally a little bit more hesitant to lend against your future labor income, what we consider sort of unsecured income. And so for a collateral perspective, houses have always been valuable, but I don't think it's any more or less true in terms of whether housing is real wealth or not. Because again, anytime the price goes up, it's because your liability, your future stream of rents, has also gone up.
Thanks for that call, Jackie. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your housing story? Do you buy or rent? Why are you doing it that way? Are you looking to sell, looking to buy? What are you running into in the community you are looking to buy or rent in? 800-642-1234 is the number. We're talking to Andra Gent from the UW-Madison School of Business. Andra, I think a thing probably that keeps a lot of economists and people in your line of work up at night is, are we entering the conditions that led up to 2008 and the Great Recession? Do you have any compare and contrast thoughts on that?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Rob. Fantastic question. I don't think, you know, we may see some trend downward in prices as rates rise. We're at very full employment right now, and so that's consistent with, of course, the Fed raising rates to sort of make sure inflation doesn't get out of control. What I think that was a little bit different about, there's a few things that were a little different pre-2008. So first of all, the rent-to-price ratio got really out of whack, and what we're seeing now is rents are also rising, and so that's not as much of a concern. Now, of course, that's not good if you're a renter, but when we sort of think of asset price bubbles, often one of the hallmarks of an asset price bubble is seeing the income on the asset not keep pace with the price appreciation. And the way people were talking in 2004, 2005, and especially, you know, as late as 2006, people were saying, well, I'm buying in anticipation of the price appreciation. And that's when, as economists, you know, alarm bells go off, because if you're not seeing the income, well, then you're expecting somebody else to get, you know, do you see what I mean? It's a bit of a... It's only about the house price expectations at that point as opposed to the real income. And so I don't think that's what's going on right now. The other thing, as you probably know, is if anything, lending conditions are still tighter than they were in 2002, 2004, even before we had this big relaxation in lending conditions in 2005, 2006, 2007. It's still fairly difficult, particularly for marginal home buyers, to qualify for a mortgage. Mortgage markets, the underwriting standards are much tighter. And so that's not going to be a factor. But I think the big thing is house price expectations are not nearly as out of whack as they were prior to the financial crisis.
I want to bring on another caller now. Sandy is with us in Wausau. Sandy, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to tell us about?
Well, I was just wanted to tell of an experience I had looking for housing in Wausau, Wisconsin, which I'm sure it's the same around the United States. Being low-income housing, there's like a hair of a difference of whether you make too much money or not enough. Even the low housing bracket of what you pay for housing is way too expensive for people in poverty to afford. Considering the cost of medical care, feeding your children, and housing, it's way too much, and there's way too much red tape in order to get a roof over your head. That has been my experience.
Sandy, thanks a lot for that call. Andra, for, you know, we hear about Section 8 housing, various forms of government support for housing. Are there a lot of hoops to jump through, as Sandy is saying?
I don't work in that area specifically myself, but I certainly believe, Sandy, that's the experience. There are a number of programs, both federal and state level, to try to increase the supply of affordable housing. What Section 8 is one program. I mean, there's a number of community block development grants. A lot of it is really on developers, to try to give developers the incentive to develop affordable units. And I think that's sort of the best way of doing it, is to try to give these developers the incentives. But, it's tough out there. And, as we talked earlier, the share of income going towards housing just keeps going up especially in the bottom half of the income distribution. And I don't have an easy answer for that, unfortunately. I wish there were, and it's not an easy policy answer either. There's not a simple suggestion as to whether you build more affordable housing or whether you give direct. I mean, one alternative is rather than give affordable housing program incentives to developers, do you just give lower income households vouchers to buy housing, or do you just directly support their income? That's another program that we might consider if we wanted to ease the burden on low income households. But unfortunately, that's just sort of it's a big problem, and I don't have a solution.
Sandy, thanks for that call, and good luck. Briefly, as we wrap up, Andra, what is the next bit of information? What's the next clue you're watching for the future of housing?
You know, I think the tariffs are really going to be a big part of the story. And you know, as you probably know, when any time you start these trade wars, the end is not in sight, right? So if we could just say it's going to be these two products, that's great. But that this could have big macroeconomic ramifications, not just for the housing market, but for the overall U.S. economy. So I think that's something we want to keep an eye on.
Andra, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Andra Gent is an associate professor of real estate and urban land economics for the UW-Madison School of Business. She was with us to talk about why buying or renting seems to be getting more expensive, especially in particular communities, and the factors that play into costs in the housing market. Again, whether you're buying or renting.